Support for this podcast of The Exchange is brought to you by the Dagoba Group, a global diversity and inclusion consulting practice with specialties in unconscious bias, leadership dynamics, and client engagement. Authors of the book, The Inclusion Dividend. More at thedagobagroup.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity. And from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit DartmouthHitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Back in 2003, New Hampshire was selected in a national competition by the self-described liberty-loving Free State Project. Free Staters were attracted to our state's natural beauty, our live-free-or-die culture, and easy access to local politics. Now, just this year, the group said it had reached a major milestone.
Today, I'm here to announce that the Free State Project has officially triggered the move and that participants need to come home. You have 5 years from today, February 3rd, 2016, to come help build the world's first intentional liberty community.
That's Free State Project leader Carla Gehrig, celebrating the signatures of 20,000 people from around the country who have pledged to make the Granite State their new home. 2,000 have already moved here, and many are active in their communities as entrepreneurs, on local boards, and in the legislature. But not everyone is thrilled about these newcomers or the possibility of more. Longtime locals worry cherished community values are threatened and fear the drive for smaller government will go way too far. Today in The Exchange, the Free State Project triggers the move. Let's hear from you. What do you think the impact of this movement has been, locally in your town or statewide? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We're going to begin with founder Jason Sorens. He came up with the Free State idea when he was a graduate student at Yale. Now, 15 years later, after his 2001 manifesto, as we just heard, the Free State Project has reached a big milestone. Jason Sorens is today a lecturer at Dartmouth College. Jason, welcome.
Thank you, Laura. It's good to be here.
What was your original idea 15 years ago? Why did you think that this was a great thing to do?
So the original idea was to get libertarians from around the country to sign up and agree to move to a state that we chose and get active there to create a freer society. And the motivation for this project was the fact that libertarians had great ideas. We've had Nobel Prize-winning economists, famous philosophers, but we've never really had an impact on D.C. And I thought, D.C. is pretty much hopeless. It's owned by K Street. It's impossible for an average American really to have significant influence on what the federal government does. But maybe we could find a state that's already somewhat friendly to our ideas and locate there and focus on promoting our ideas and see if they work, see if people want to pursue them, and maybe we could make a real difference.
So here you are, 15 years later, about 2,000 people affiliated with the Free State Project have come here, and just recently you triggered the move with 20,000 people signing up, saying they will move. Who knows if they all really will, but they say they will. How do you feel about this, Jason, at this point?
Well, we're thrilled. This is a fantastic milestone. We're now in the final phase of the Free State Project of getting those 20,000 people to move, and we're contacting people any way we can to let them know about this. And we're also even still recruiting more participants because we know that not all of those 20,000 will move. So if we get 30,000 participants, then we're much more likely to get 20,000 actual movers. We're also promoting our project to people here in the state, and we've had now over 2,500 native New Hampshireites who've signed up to express their support.
What's your response, Jason, to those Free Staters who are accused of being difficult, even disruptive. The Free State is in Keene. Also, some folks in smaller towns who tell reporters that they feel Free Staters don't really care about what other members of the community might want or might think, basically that they have not been good neighbors. We've gotten a lot of comments to that end, and I wonder what you think.
I think the vast majority of Free Staters have been good neighbors. The couple of stories that have gotten into the media, I think, highlight the more outre, in-your-face activists who are a tiny, tiny minority, about 1% actually of Free Staters in the state. But, you know, when you look at what Free Staters have been doing, not just in the political realm, but the social realm, getting active in projects like Shire Sharing and the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, promoting our ideas, getting involved in education and civic action. You know, these are things that help the community, right? We're bringing new ideas into the conversation. And ultimately, it's up to the voters to decide whether they like these ideas or not. And it's possible that that we're not going to have a big impact if voters decide that, hey, libertarian ideas are not a good way to go. But we think that once we actually get these ideas a fair hearing, that voters will like what they hear and that we'll start experimenting with some of these policies and that they'll actually be proven to be successful. And you know, a lot of the things that we're promoting are actually policies proven to work in other contexts. And so we just want to give them a try here in New Hampshire.
Free Staters in the political dialogue, Jason, often talk about their rights, gun rights or the right to have access to medical marijuana, for example. What about responsibilities? What is the responsibility of the Free State movement to its new home state and new home communities?
Yes, I think for every right, there's a correlative responsibility, right? So if someone has a right, that means you have a duty to respect that right. So above all, we have duties like everyone to respect the rights of others, not to use force or fraud against them. But I think we also do have a duty to be neighborly, and that goes beyond merely respecting rights, but actually to listen. You know, you can't have a conversation about policy ideas if you're not willing to be persuaded by the people that you're conversing with. And that means being empathetic and understanding where they're coming from, what the issues are in their lives. We're not doing this for our own freedom. You know, I don't use drugs, but I'm interested in having a policy that treats drugs as more of a harm reduction issue rather than a criminal justice issue. That's because I care about the freedom of all. I care about the freedom of the people in New Hampshire. And so that's what's motivating us. And so we need to listen to what those people are interested in, what matters to their lives.
Well, and Jason, we've got a whole panel of folks who are going to talk about this the whole hour. So I'll just ask you one last question. Do you care to make a prediction about if and when we might actually see 20,000 Free Staters moving to New Hampshire?
Well, we're going to pull out all the stops to try to make that happen within 5 years. So it's a big task to be sure, but we've got a great team in place, and I think there's a good chance that we'll make that happen.
Okay, Jason Sorens, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Jason Sorens, founder of the Free State Project, now a lecturer in the Department of Government at Dartmouth College. Join us with your questions and comments on the Free State Project, its impact on New Hampshire, and perhaps your city or town. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. With us in studio is Carla Garrick. Again, she's past president of the Free State Project. She moved to New Hampshire in 2008 as part of the project, stepped down as president in March, but remains on the Free State Project board. And Carla Garrick, nice to see you. Welcome back.
Thanks. Delighted to be here.
Also with us, Dan Eaton. He's a Democratic state representative from Stoddard, also the Stoddard Town moderator. And Representative Eaton, welcome back. Good to see you, too.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Laura.
And also with us, Drew Klein, communications consultant in Bedford, the former editorial page editor of the New Hampshire Union Leader. And Drew, welcome back to you, too. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Well, Carla, I want to start with you. The Free State Project often says its goal is to attract liberty-minded people, in its words, to move to the Granite State. What does that mean to you, Carla? Let's get philosophical for a minute, to be liberty-minded.
Well, you know, people like to define libertarians as fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And I think that's a good starting point for where we're coming from. So as Jason explained earlier, you know, we believe in freedom and freedom for all. So we, you know, want to see sort of a balance in those things. And I think there's very much a trend these days towards bigger government. And so the live and let live sort of ethos is something that attracts most people to this movement. And then philosophically, I would also say, you know, we mostly subscribe to the non-aggression principle. So we believe in non-aggression and that people should only use force in situations of self-defense. And so if you want to take something like that down the philosophical rabbit hole, a lot of us also believe then that something like the state fighting wars, you know, if a war is, you know, if it's wrong to murder someone, then it's not better if it's just a bigger group of people doing it to others.
So anti-war at the national level and at the local level, small government.
Yes.
Give us a couple examples, Carla, of issues that free staters have worked on in the legislature or at the local level. But let's talk about the legislature for a minute, that they have worked on and that you think they have can take credit for passage.
So, of course, you know, we have to work with other people. We're still very small and nascent. And, you know, there are not that many reps in the legislature yet. But certainly something like same-sex marriage was something that a lot of people worked on. So marriage equality, the medicinal marijuana, so cannabis laws is something that a lot of people have worked on. And we've seen progress with that. In fact, some dispensaries have now been opening up. And it's wonderful to see there was a great article in the Union Leader where they talked about, you know, these people who are patients. These are not well people who need access to medicine. And so I think that was a wonderful thing to see happen and to see progress on that. Of course, you know, a lot of people are concerned about privacy issues with regard to the federal government. So something like Real ID, which has sort of changed a little bit with this last legislative session. But what I thought was really compelling and wonderful about the way that bill happened, you know, people call it sort of common sense New Hampshire approach, is that it became an opt-in option. And I think for many of us, we like to think about those options, right? So instead of forcing people to do things, because 51% say one thing and 49% say another thing, it's not really fair in the world to be like, well, you 49%, tough luck. So I like the idea of starting to look at how we approach things like legislation and really giving people more options. And I think also as technology becomes such an integral part of our lives, I could see over, you know, some decades, you know, I think we're going to be able to see government. There's an app for that.
Well, maybe that's a subject for a future show. But Representative Eaton, you've been in the legislature a long time. And as I said, you serve as town moderator in Stoddard. Let's talk about the legislature first, Representative Eaton. How have you seen the Free State's influence on that body?
Kind of obstructive. They're very, very dedicated, very loyal, frequently tunnel visioned into very specific issues, specific bills, and kind of in other areas pie in the sky of, well, we don't need police, we don't need fire, we don't need the Department of Transportation because everybody will take their turn in shoveling and plowing the roads, and it's not necessarily realistic. The other part is a little subversive. If you're a free stater, proclaim it. Be proud and put it out there instead of trying to sneak into individual parties and hide. And I had an incident. I was the longest-serving county chair for the Democrats in Cheshire County and had an incident with one member of the Free State Project who owned a house in southern Cheshire County running as a Democrat. And I did the background and found out it was a Free State person, outed them, got a primary opponent, and defeated her in the primary. She was great about it, shook my hand, congratulated me for doing the homework. The next election, she's running in Sullivan County as a Republican. One, where do you get the money to buy the houses and keep moving around and infiltrate parties? And if you don't have any loyalty to either party, why are you joining them? And why aren't you being upfront about who you are to start with?
Well, we'll talk about party identification in a little bit and, you know, whether you put that next to your name on the ballot or whatever. But in terms of the issues, Representative Eaton, give us a couple examples. Carla gave us a couple. You know, Free Staters often cite their work on same-sex marriage, medical marijuana, gun rights, Real ID, easier access to Narcan. Give us a couple issues where you have seen this movement have an impact in the legislature, whether it's an impact that you like or not.
Certainly Narcan was an issue that it was one of the Free State members that brought the bill forward, worked her tail off and gets kudos for everything she did. But she had to bring in the mainstream to get there. The gun rights are sporadic in how they operate, and I frankly resent them taking credit for medical marijuana or same-sex marriage, which have been worked on by people of both parties for years, and the impact of any member of the Free State Project was marginal and late coming.
Is it possible that they put it over the top?
No, not even close. And there are not enough members to even do that. What we find more frequent is obstruction, like yesterday on the floor. We probably could have been out by 6 or 7 o'clock. The House went until after 10 o'clock. That was because of certain members challenging bills on the floor that had a 25-1 or 24-2 committee vote. And kudos for tenacity at pressing at windmills. But realism counts.
Drew Klein, on what issues do you find yourself cheering for Free Staters? And on what issues do you wish they'd pipe down or not get involved?
That's a fun question because you can ask a lot of Granite Staters that question and get a lot of different answers. So there are a couple of things I think Free Staters have been really instrumental in. One of my favorites is nanobreweries. So
nanobreweries,
yeah. So everybody knows what a microbrewery is. It's a small beer brewery. But New Hampshire a few years ago had no legislation to allow what is called a nanobrewery, which is a very tiny – you think of out-of-your-garage startup. So instead of starting a commuter business, you'd start a brewery out of your garage. There was no legislation to allow that. You had to go through all sorts of regulatory hoops as if you were a large business. And Free State Project members passed a bill to allow nanobreweries and then started several nanobreweries. So Abel Ebenezer, Candia Road, Area 23 are all started by Free State members. So New Hampshire now has this really sort of microbrewery movement that is facilitated by Free State Project members, and it would not have likely happened without them. I think that's pretty neat. Repealing the certificate of need law was pushed by Free State Project members. One that's coming up now.
Certificate of need is what?
Yeah. So when medical institutions, they have to get approval from the state to get certain equipment. That was one that was pushed by Free State Project members to get that law undone. And now there's a fight in legislature over it. But one of the other ones that I think is really kind of neat that's coming up now, and it's been a Free State Project initiative for a while, is civil asset forfeiture. So that's an issue where the left and the right nationally have come together in the last few years because of drug war issues and racial policing issues in places like Baltimore and other cities, where the police can arrest you and confiscate your property. They arrest the property and keep it if it's a drug issue. And then they get to keep the property whether you're convicted or not. And Free Staters have really led the movement in New Hampshire to get that law changed so that they can't keep your property unless you're convicted.
Any other issues, Drew, where you think, I wish they wouldn't jump in on this?
Well, getting back to your point about civility. So the Robin Hooders in Keene, I think, are a great example of a very tiny group of Free Staters who take a philosophical position that really doesn't make a lot of sense, that parking meters are theft. And push it too far and push it in a very rude and uncivil way when there are much better ways to make your point. So we see folks like that becoming kind of a statewide brand for the Free State Project. And I think Jason, when he said this earlier, is correct. They are a very, very tiny fraction of Free State Project members.
Yeah, and when I asked Jason about that, I could hear him sighing because he's, you know, probably tired of being asked about that. But Carla, we do have to address it, and I have a bunch of Facebook comments from listeners who kind of make the same point that, you know, all right, have your ideas, but for heaven's sake, don't be rude.
Yeah, and I, you know, as has been said here, it is a small minority. A lot of these people enjoy media attention or run media, you know, mini empires, so to speak. So there's a shock jock element to that. And we all know, of course, that, you know, the stories people are looking for are the ones that ruffle feathers and that change how people look at things or get attention. So, you know, for every time we hear one of those shocking stories, there are 100 great things happening by productive people in the state.
Well, we'll talk more in just a minute. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the history and impact of the Free State Project as it triggers the move, as its members call, with 20,000 Free Staters from all around the country pledging to move to the Granite State. Let's hear from you. What do you think the impact of this project has been on New Hampshire over the past almost 15 years? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. With us in studio, Drew Klein, communications consultant in Bedford, former editorial page editor of the New Hampshire Union Leader. Also, Dan Eaton is here, Democratic state rep from Stoddard and the Stoddard town moderator. And Carla Garrick, past president of the Free State Project. She stepped on in March, but remains on the Free State Project board. And Carla, Drew, and Representative Eaton, let's go to our listeners now. And Peter is in Durham. Hi, Peter. Go ahead. You're in The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi. I guess it's mostly a comment, and that is that the Free State Project annoys me because they take pride in who they are, but they won't tell us who they are. So just like Representative Eaton was saying, they have to run as stealth candidates to get elected. They switch parties, they hide who they are. They have to be outed for the public to know that they're Free Staters. And if you ask the Free State Project, well, who are your people? Who are the people, your representatives in government throughout the state? They'll just refuse to say it because they know that people don't like who they are.
Well, Peter, thank you for the comment, and this is a point you made earlier, Representative Eaton. Drew Klein, to you first, in this two-party system, could a Free Stater put a FS next to their name?
Yeah, I mean, I hear that complaint from Republicans as well as Democrats. You'll find Free State Project members running in Republican primaries. But you got to also remember, Free State Project is kind of this brand, but it's not a political ideology per se. Like, there's no set of – it's not large L Libertarian Party. And within the Free State movement, there's a pretty wide range of beliefs. So I think as a matter of civility and honesty, everybody ought to be completely upfront about what their views are. So if you're running in a Democratic primary especially – but in a Republican too, you want to just, you know, I don't think it necessarily matters so much to say, hey, you know, everybody, I moved here with the Free State Project. I mean, I think that's nice to do. Like, full disclosure is always good. But hiding your beliefs, I think, is just not acceptable. And it gives, you know, it gives people it tarnishes the brand, in other words.
Well, I have a Facebook comment, too, and I'll throw this to you, Carla. This is from Jenny. She says, if Free State folks want to run for office, why do they pretend to be Republican or Democrat? Why aren't they transparent about who they are? I recall reading recently that there's a disproportionately high number of Free State Project reps, and many voters say they thought they were voting for a Republican or Democrat and feel deceived. So can you address that as well, Carla, please?
Yeah, I think this really brings the question of individualism up. You know, as Drew said, we're not a political party. In fact, we're a nonprofit, an educational nonprofit that wants to spread the ideas about these things. So when individual participants who may have moved here for the Free State Project, and of course, you know, the New Hampshire legislature is filled, I believe, 60-75% of people who serve are not originally from New Hampshire. So
New Hampshire has a high in-migration rate.
Yeah, so you know, if we're talking about, okay, people who moved here because they actually love the state, as opposed to, well, then surely everyone needs to disclose when they're running, Democrats and Republicans, what were your reasons for coming here? Where exactly do you stand on, you know, these issues? Are you someone who has only ever worked for the government? Therefore, you might actually be perceived as a special interest. Could you disclose that, you know, in your party affiliations? I personally do think people should come out. The reason people haven't done it in the past, I think, was because of this branding issue that I think going forward will start to become better as people get to know us, as they hang out in our bars and drink our wonderful beers. So, you know, I think it's baby steps. There were a lot of people who moved out here who were very gung-ho to kind of, you know, say, here we are. And I think there is a maturity that is now coming. So I anticipate more people will start to say it. I also do want to say, you know, with the two-party system the way it is, you really, I mean, there is no option for third parties to do it. So, you know, your option is you're either a Democrat or a Republican. Over the long term, I would love it be, you know, you're either a Liberty candidate or not.
What do you think, Representative Eaton?
I think they should come out very honestly and earnestly and go to a county party or a state party and say, look, this is where I'm from. This is what I'm about. But I lean more towards your brand than the other brand. But I just want to be upfront about it. Or run as a Libertarian candidate. But there is a hiding, and a hiding both of being part of the Free State Project, a hiding of where you come from, what you're about. There's money involved in all of this. Drew was talking about the Robin Hooders in Keene and how these people plug the meters and harass the services. And when you talk to these people that are working allegedly for the Free State Project, they say, yes, we're paid. Well, who's paying you? And they shut down.
So there's an element of secrecy, but a lot
of money coming from somewhere. When you sit in the Senate gallery and there's 24 people in the gallery with very expensive video cameras intimidating every senator on the floor for one issue, who bought the cameras? Where'd they come from? Because some of the people carrying them, by appearance, had no ability to buy them.
Go ahead, Carla, and then I've got a little clip of someone from the Free State Project talking about its work in the legislature. Go ahead, Carla.
I've heard these allegations of money. We certainly, while I was running the organization, you know, it's a nonprofit. It's shoestring. One, there is no money element to this in terms of Free State Project participants. Why people have cameras is because they're independent media, that they care about stuff. And I actually do take issue with the word intimidate. I mean, filming public officials is part of a transparent and accountable government. I mean, we saw that clip, I'm sure everyone did, of the car chase yesterday.
With the
police. And, having gone through a situation like that myself and being charged with wiretapping and, you know, fighting it in the courts, which is another way that Free Staters are contributing to the community. So there's this political realm. There's this community realm. There's getting integrated into stuff. I used to volunteer, you know, at the Concord Library. There's also, of course, lawsuits. And so, you know, to say it's intimidating that you're being filmed when you're a public official executing your public duties, I think is questionable.
Well, at the 2015 New Hampshire Liberty Alliance dinner, Mark Edge spoke. He's the host of the radio show Free Talk Live. He talked about how the Free State is working in the legislature with the two parties. Here he is describing the Free State's project's support of 87 legislators in election campaigns. As Mark Edge puts it, wielding considerable clout in the lawmaking process.
We have essentially a functional libertarian veto. If you want to get your conservative bill through, if you want to get your liberal bill through, you're going to have to go through the libertarians, because the vast majority of bills don't get passed with more than an 87-point majority. So that means libertarians, pro-liberty people, I mean, if you don't like the term libertarian, that's fine by me. Pro-liberty people have something here that they don't have any place else in the United States. And it's because of New Hampshire's unique legislature with 400 citizen legislators that this was able to happen.
Drew Klein, what do you think?
Well, I think that's clearly exaggerated. Look, so Jason came up with the Free State Project in 2003, right? That was the last time New Hampshire had a Republican governor. We have not had one since. We just passed Medicaid expansion. You've had sort of Obamacare-type stuff going through. You've had lots of Democrats elected to high office. In legislature, the left and the right, I think, exaggerates the Free State Project's influence quite a great deal. There are only, about 18 or so Free Staters, actual Free Staters in the legislature. Then there are other people who kind of lean libertarian who are there, who are actual Republicans and so forth. Actually, and I know Free State Project members who are genuinely Republicans. Like, they're not libertarians. They would not be comfortable in the Libertarian Party. They're genuinely Republicans. But it's not like a party label you can stick on them. But I do think their influence and clout in the legislature is greatly exaggerated by both sides, who are kind of afraid of the Free State Project.
Let's take some more calls. Again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And John is in Manchester. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah, I just had two comments. So I moved to New Hampshire about 8 years ago with the Free State Project to work on a Republican presidential campaign. And I've been a Republican my whole life. I'm one of the guys that Drew was talking about, I think, where, you know, if I ever ran for office, I'm a Republican. I believe that, you know, drugs should be legalized. And I believe that there are some social issues that the Republican Party needs to move forward on, but that doesn't stop me from being a Republican any more than it stops somebody that doesn't like taxes from being a Democrat necessarily. The second thing on the filming people aspect, I am not a giant fan of all the stuff that goes on out in Keene. I don't always agree with those guys, but intercept videos are sort of standard operating procedure for both political parties. If you watch federal politics and state politics over the past decade, people jump out of the bushes with cameras at candidates and people with political power all the time. And these guys are just bringing that strategy to a local level, which can be disconcerting, I'm sure. But, if you are publicly accountable, you're publicly accountable. And I don't agree with being rude to anyone, but I think that, it's important to remember that these people are supposed to be public servants. And when they're held accountable, we shouldn't feel bad for them. That's what they signed up for.
Are you talking about politicians or police officers, John, or those meter maids who were followed in Keene?
Well, that's the meter maids is where I feel from some of the videos and stuff. I feel like people might have been a little bit rude, but yeah, filming police officers, that's absolutely, it's established as a constitutional right, thanks to Carla, partially. Being able to hold public figures accountable, if you're being paid by the public, you have a responsibility to be accountable to the public.
Does that trickle down to meter maids, though? I mean, they're being paid by the city of Keene.
I mean, I think that ideologically, yes. Practically, if I were making the decisions as to who to hold accountable, meter maids would be probably last on my list. I think that probably out there, it's sort of like a target of opportunity because the people are there, in team. It's something that they can do right in the town without heading out of town and driving anywhere. And, I can understand why they do it. I would not do that myself.
Okay. John, good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's take another call. This is Paul in Chichester. Hi, Paul. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Yes. Hi. I hear the complaints about Free Staters running as Republicans and Democrats, and I guess I have no sympathy whatsoever for that. The Libertarian Party used to have official ballot status like the Republicans and Democrats, and there's two ways you can run for office. One is to be a member of an official party in which their nominee just goes on the ballot, and the other is to have to raise, get thousands and thousands of signatures. The two main political parties, and I'm a Democrat, and I've been a lawyer for the Democratic Party, but they got together and they didn't want the Libertarians to be on the ballot, and they just raised the threshold to something that's almost impossible to do. And they did that purposely to drive them off the ballot. Now, we're one of, I think, only two or three states in the country that only have two parties on the ballot. We can easily run elections with far more parties, and we could give people more choices. And then
So, Paul, I'm not sure what your point is about the free state. I hear you on, problems around ballot access and so forth for third parties, but what's your point on the free staters?
Well, they run as Republicans and Democrats because we drove the Libertarian Party off the ballot.
I see. They don't have any choice, then, you're saying.
They don't have any choice. And the people that drove them off the ballot are the ones that now complain about the fact that they run in their party.
I see. Paul, thank you very much for calling in. Do you want to comment, Representative Eaton?
Probably some truth, but there's also the issue.
You've been complaining about them hiding. Paul is saying they don't have any choice. They have to run as Republicans.
They don't have any choice, but they could have a choice. You can organize and you can get the Libertarian Party back on the ballot. It takes some work and it takes some groundwork. They're doing great at groundwork, they claim, on bringing all these people in and getting everybody involved and getting them in the legislature. If you're able to do that, you can get your own ballot.
Do you want to jump in? You said earlier, Carla, that Free State is a movement, a philosophy. It's not a political party. That's not your goal.
Exactly. For the Free State Project as an organization. But, I think we also shouldn't lose sight of sort of the average New Hampshireite in all of this. It seems like politics has become so partisan across the nation. And so there's this whole left-right and very much a digging in of the heels. And I believe that a lot of the liberty philosophy and libertarianism, if you want to call it that, is something that is actually good for the average person in this state. And so having a group of people who are in the legislature kind of looking at these issues from a liberty perspective, right, is a good thing. And it's something that can continue to kind of balance and rein in these ever more sort of extreme positions on both the other parties' sides.
No, that's interesting because some people say, and I've got some Facebook comments to this point, Carla, that the Free Staters are excessive. You're saying the Free State Project could work as a way to rein in the excesses of Republicans and Democrats.
Yes.
I got to throw that to you, Representative Eaton.
I think that's a pure fallacy. Most of the obstructionism we've seen in Concord has been by the Free State Project members from either side, whichever party they chose. But my example is last night, where you had committee reports of 25-1, 24-2, overwhelming and pushing at windmills, and they debate on the floor of the House and obstruct the progress when the vote comes out of 281-4 at the end. I don't think it's a party issue. It's a philosophy issue.
Isn't that partly how politics works, though, Representative Eaton? I mean, if you dig into American history, you know, there are a lot of fights, even among those august founding fathers, about what they should do. And I think there were probably a lot of, you know, founders in that hot room in Philadelphia who wanted to go home, but there were a couple people who said no, no, no. So, I mean, in one sense, isn't that just the way it goes in America?
To a point, deliberative body is a wonderful thing. We take such pride in New Hampshire of having the third largest legislative body in the English-speaking world, so that you have a deliberative body. When you're a member of a committee, you've done all the homework, and your final vote is everybody in the room but you. Then you take up 2 hours of time of the 400 that are the next deliberative. Are you being responsible? You're being obstructionist. I don't know.
Is that a function of the rules of the House? Maybe, you know, at some point the threshold is so overwhelming in one direction or the other that, you know, the rules of the House say to that one or two people, you know, look, our House rules say you just have to stop talking now.
The body has the ability to do that of its own volition right now, and they can set a motion of cloture. It's not our style to do that, but your credibility from that point on is diminished. And if you keep doing it, your credibility is very, very limited, and that is the case at the moment, but they still do it.
Again, our number here in the exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Let's go to Amherst, where Gardner's on the line. Hi, Gardner. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to compliment you and the people at the NHPR offices for putting this together. I grew up in New Hampshire, and I've been absolutely delighted seeing the Free State Project members come in here. And everybody that I've met, down to like 99.9% of the members of the Free State Project, have been just terrific people, peaceful people. And I've been just very, very happy by their approach towards trying to take all these different avenues to try to educate people about freedom and possibly try to do something to help move New Hampshire towards allowing individuals to make more choices for themselves.
So, Gardner, it's would you call yourself a free stater, even though you were born here?
Well, there you go. I guess that I would have to be a native free stater, I guess. I'm not sure. I moved here when I was three. And I tell you, I often mention this to people. I used to drive 5 hours to go to a place called the Foundation for Economic Education, just so I could get together with people in Irvington, New York, who were philosophically interested in free market economics and trying to hold government accountable to what's actually written in their constitutions. And something I should mention, just a disclosure, Laura, you know, I was the Libertarian candidate for Senate going up against Dean Shaheen just a couple years ago. And that point about ballot access is extremely important. It was very, very frustrating. I only ran so that we could get on the ballot and I might be able to get into the debate.
All right,
so
Gardner, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for joining
us.
And coming up, a lot more comments from our Facebook page, some emails, and of course, a lot more of your calls at 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, how the Free State Project has affected politics in New Hampshire so far and what its impact might be in the future. We'd love to hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Our guests in the studio are Carla Garrick, past president of the Free State Project. She stepped down in March but remains on the Free State Project board. Also with us, Drew Klein, communications consultant and the former editorial page editor of the New Hampshire Union Leader. And Dan Eaton, Democratic state rep from Stoddard. He's also the Stoddard Town moderator. Again, the phone number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And here's a couple of Facebook comments that I want to share with all of you. We asked our Facebook listeners, what impact do you think the Free State Project has had on New Hampshire? Tony says, the Free Staters I work with, who are state representatives, go out of their way to make New Hampshire a better place. He attached a photo. Obviously, you can't see it, but he says, here's a photo collage from our litter pickups. Three state reps cleaning up the roads, providing ham radio communications for sled dog races, working three times a week for the Center Harbor Food Pantry, all Free Staters. So that's from Tony. Keith has another view. He says they are negative, disruptive, dishonest, criminal. I hope you will address the many instances of criminal behavior and their harassment of people who happen to disagree with them. Carla, this gets back to what keeps coming up. Sometimes for folks who are not involved with this project, it isn't the issues so much. I mean, sometimes it is the issues. Sometimes it's just the way that some people affiliated with this movement seem to have what Representative Eaton called tunnel vision, not listening to the concerns of the other side.
And I certainly think that's something everyone could learn from, right? The power of persuasion, having that dialogue, having a discussion, and, you know, figuring that out. And listening, I think, as you said, is vital to that. As we mature, I think people will see, you know, we are people in the community. A lot of times, folks don't even know someone's a Free Stater. You know, they're just doing what
Representative Eaton would say they should know, but.
More in the community and less from a sort of political standpoint. But certainly, you know, like I said, personally, I would love people to come out because I also think that's how we improve our brand is when people start to realize, oh, these great people are actually also Free Staters. I think a lot of people felt the need to hide because they didn't want to be associated with something like Robin Hooding, or they didn't want to be associated with shock jocks. And, you know, as we change and mature, people hopefully will start to say, you know what, I'm actually really proud. I mean, I'm proud that I'm a Free Stater. I've dedicated my life to this, and I want more people to feel that way.
Here's another email. This one is from Bonnie in Merrimack. She says, I have spoken with people who identify as Free Staters whose efforts have focused on dismantling or harming our public school system. She says a particular peeve several mentioned was having to pay to educate, quote, those kids, special education, English as a second language, etc. Bonnie says, I see this as a very damaging attitude to the moral character of a community. You know, all of you, we've talked about the work that Free Staters have done on issues like marijuana, gun rights, gay marriage, real ID, police surveillance, and so forth. What about public education, Drew Klein? How would you describe the Free State influence in public education in New Hampshire, and has it been positive or not?
Yeah, that's a complaint I hear from folks on the left quite often. When you bring up Free State, they will quickly bring up public schools. And again, there's a spectrum within the Free State movement. It is not all one view. You'll find Free Staters who simply want more school choice. You'll find Free Staters who support the scholarship fund. The Children's Scholarship Fund administrator in New Hampshire is libertarian native, but is a friend of Free State Project. And then you'll find some of the more anarchist Free Staters who don't like public funding of schools at all. So I think it's unfair to taint all Free State Project members with this sort of extreme view that you shouldn't have public schools. And most of them would be in favor of some sort of public funding, but not necessarily this sort of assembly line system that we have now. So I think most of them want more choice in schools and the way they're funded and the way people can access them.
Assembly line. That's pretty harsh, true.
Well, I mean, it's a 19th century manufacturing model of education. I mean, that's our education system, right? Your kid comes in, he's put in the assembly line with other kids his age, regardless of anything else, and they move along with everybody else. It's sort of modeled on that old model. And so that's what school choicers, regardless of whether they're Free State Project members, are objecting to anyway.
Do Free Staters send their kids to public schools, Carla?
I mean, some do, some don't. A lot of people homeschool. You know, once again, it gets down to personal choice and individualism. I think it's a mistake to try and say there's this group of people and they're all the same and we have to say they're like this, because that is not the reality. We are all individuals. And so it runs the gamut on that issue, as it does on a lot of issues. You know, there are lots of people who are pro-gun rights. There are pacifists. You know, it's all over the place. And that's the beauty of individualism. And that, once again, is getting back to the philosophy of, so we don't want systems where it's one size fits all. If you don't want the kids in the assembly line because maybe that child learns visually and not, you know, from reading, or they're way too smart for their grade, or they're struggling, you know, so really just creating a, I know it sounds pie in the sky, but creating a world where we have more choices and not to continue to narrow everything down to this one option.
So would you say that the Free State Project has been helpful in boosting the charter school movement, for example, here in New Hampshire?
Certainly some people have worked on it. There's been the Croydon case up in the Upper Valley area. Jody Underwood, who has a PhD in education and has served on the school board there, you know, they've taken the school and said, instead of just sending the kids to Newport School, let's explore options for some of these kids who are just really miserable within that model. So children were sent to Montessori. It actually saved the taxpayers of Croydon several $1,000. And so why shouldn't we explore these kinds of options?
Let's take another call. And Barbara's waiting in Henniker. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. I've been listening, not to everything, but one thing I think about is when the Concord Monitor did a series on the Free Staters, and it very clearly indicated and said what they were all about and why they moved to New Hampshire. And one of the big things is they just want to change everything. They want to cut. They want us to be smaller. And rather than looking around to see what we do, I am in the legislature, as you know, and we have had a structural deficit ever since I've been there, which was 92, and this means we have never completely funded our needs. I'm not talking about our wants. I'm talking about our needs. We are not a state that throws money around. We are very efficient. We try to meet people's needs. And my concern is that we've got people who have come in and they don't really get to know who we are. They don't really know what we're all about. They start in promoting their ideas. They are not telling us who they are and what they're all about. And this really concerns me.
They don't listen first, Barbara. That's a concern that we've talked about and that other people have raised. Thank you for calling in. Do you want to jump in on this idea, Representative Eaton, of, you know, ever smaller government? Barbara's pushing back on that idea.
Where I started in the House in 1975, and we've been in the same boat from 75 to current. We've always run a threadbare budget. Barbara's correct. We don't throw money around. We're very, very cautious. In education, we are probably not where we should be, and I'm sure that's debatable. As far as the Free State folks, you're correct earlier that they have worked on the charter school system. And I got it just as a sideline say, I have befriended several of the Free State Project people and worked hand-in-hand with them on different pieces of legislation.
Really?
But many of those people have since left legislature and have contacted me since and said the project has gotten crazy and that they have disassociated themselves. And I've talked to other folks that are very involved in the middle of it who have said they need to come to an idea of an internal cleansing of the people who are anarchists or who are using the project for just confrontation and obstruction. And I think the Free Keen movement and how they've operated, you want less government, but you utilize all the police sources and all the court sources for no legitimate purpose of bringing a young girl from Manchester with a sidearm on her hip to walk topless down Main Street. Is there a legitimate purpose to that except to rattle people, utilize cops, utilize courts, for no legitimate government purpose, or to shut down a town government, a town meeting in the western part of the state? Is there a legitimate purpose to that? I don't think so, but that's a whole different
issue. Well, I definitely want to ask Carla about that, and you've talked about the maturity and so forth, but I'm interested that you worked with a couple folks from the Free State Project, Representative Eaton, on a couple bills. You said those folks are no longer in the legislature, but what were those bills?
Certainly medical marijuana, decriminalization, a change in the knife laws in the state of New Hampshire, where there is a point you couldn't have a switchblade. But if you are a person who is a fisherman and you were disabled and had one arm, how do you operate a knife? Simple little things that were dumb laws. I've maintained since 75, I helped teach orientation for new legislators. I've always maintained 1 year of the session, every member cannot introduce a new bill for new laws. They should have to go through the books and find something to take off that's stupid. And that would keep them tied up for years.
But that is interesting. And it does bring up the topic that, you know, that we talked about earlier. Carla and some other Free State members see themselves as providing a bridge between the political divides that we see in this country. And what you just said seems to indicate maybe?
No, I don't think it's a bridge. I think if anyone has looked at the New Hampshire legislature, we have had a libertarian bent for 50 years.
Nothing
new.
Our
state. And it's not from an influx of new people. It's just been our story.
Okay, so Carla, I do keep coming back to this, but I do want to give you a chance to jump in on what Representative Eaton has said, and a lot of our listeners, too, frankly, on Facebook and emails and so forth, that, okay, be liberty-minded, but this has gone too far. It's disruptive. It's sucking up community resources for no good reason.
Well, you know, the example, Dan. Sorry, I knew the name, but I was like Representative Eaton, you know, brought up with regard to, you know, repealing these laws, I think would be a really good way to start. And I do think there are bridges being built. I know you also worked on the Narcan bill. You know, we have the heroin problem all over the country now. And that was sort of pushed by Free Staters and, you know, is something that I think has made a remarkable difference here in terms of saving lives. So the example with the lady who, you know, the topless lady from Keene, we've been hearing that story for a decade. I believe it's about 10 years old. So maybe instead of people bringing up very old examples, let's talk about what's currently happening and where can we go from here to really see progress. As I mentioned earlier, I do think, you know, as you said as well, Dan, that, you know, this is a libertarian streaky state. You know, there is that sort of
sense.
That's
not new.
And so let's complement that and let's figure it out and let's have these kinds of discussions.
How do you, Drew, in a movement that is founded on the idea of freedom and liberty and personal choice, rein in people who are, you know, upsetting a lot of other folks, including those who might be sympathetic to some of the fundamental ideals?
You don't. You can't. I mean, so the Free State Project has a branding issue because of some of the outliers, which, you know, maybe the Republican Party is having a similar issue right now. so I wonder if people on the left would be more comfortable with a Free State Project dominated legislature or a Trumpist dominated legislature, and just to think about the perspective there on the political spectrum. But I'd like to get back to a point that Dan made, which was a great point of working with legislators. I think the Free Keene people and the Cop Block people get all the attention, but the big political impact in the state has been working on those small bills in the legislature to make these incremental changes. Our Republican form of government was created for incremental change. So you have some folks who don't like, on the left and right, don't like that, and they want to push and agitate for rapid, immediate change. They're always going to be controversial. They're always going to be in the fringe. But the bulk of the Free State Project members who are politically involved are doing it through this incremental process and achieving results. And then you have Carla, which we haven't really talked about, which I think is the biggest impact so far on your average Granite Stater from Free State Project members, aside from maybe the beer, is Carla's arrest, which we have not even talked about.
Okay,
which is
so
a gigantic
ahead.
I mean, so Carla was arrested for videotaping some police officers in Ware who had done a traffic stop of her friends. They tried to confiscate her camera, and she filed a suit against the town because it was a clearly trumped up charge. They got her for wiretapping, and they dropped the charges. She pressed on with the suit anyway, won a federal civil rights case that clarified that not just for New Hampshire, but for the whole region, that you have a right to videotape a police officer in the line of duty doing his job. And that was a huge case. And again, this goes back to an issue that is resonating in minority communities all across the country. I mean, how many times have we seen this? And so that was a huge legal victory that would not have happened without a Free State Project member.
And, you know, a lot of people listening might think, yeah, you know, we've done shows on police body cameras and so forth and the public taping police. And a lot of people do feel like that helps with police accountability. And then this gets back to what we keep talking about, though, Drew, is some people take it too far. Again, sure. Those meter maids in Keene, you cannot watch that episode of Jon Stewart. I mean, who isn't? I mean, there's an Iraqi veteran, for goodness sake, who had to quit because it was so stressful. So, again, it's this idea of you have an idea, but then you take it too far.
Well, and that goes back to civility, for one thing. I mean, any movement, any large organization is going to get dinged negatively, obviously, when some of its members are uncivil. And then, of course, I say any, and then you have one who wins the major party nomination by being uncivil. So I guess it can work sometimes. But civility should be, as libertarians, voluntarists and so forth, you should embrace that, as Jason said at the beginning. That should be an integral part of the way you operate, and that it isn't is a problem.
As your mother used to say, mind your manners. Go ahead, Representative.
I just want to step in on one comment Drew made on Carla's arrest of a trumped-up charge. I wrote the Penn Register law back in the early 80s, the wiretap law. It's called the Penn Register. In New Hampshire, it's a two-party consent state, and that goes to privacy rights of being a two-party consent. What happened with Carla was a gray area of something that happens in the public venue and involved police. And if people are worried about that, you should be worried about people wiretapping you without your consent and without your knowledge in other areas. But under the circumstances she was in, it was a gray area that needed correcting.
Go ahead, Carla.
And that's not entirely correct, because I think that law applies to private citizens recording each other. If you're a public official executing your public duties, then you don't actually have a right to privacy. You are a public servant.
And, but does that extend to, again, meter maids or,
The meter maid story is also old. This is also from several years ago. So
it's still ongoing.
In Keene.
Is it? I don't think so.
Representative Eaton, you're from that area.
Last I knew, still ongoing.
All right. You know what? This conversation is still ongoing, too. There's a lot more we could have talked about this hour, but we will cut it off there. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Carla, thank you so much for your time. Carla Garrick, past president of the Free State Project, still a member of the Free State Project board. Drew Klein, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Drew Klein, communications consultant based in Bedford. And Dan Eaton, thank you also for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Dan Eaton, Democratic State Rep from Stoddard. This is The Exchange on NHPR.